time for the truth, will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Glad that you've joined us today to study God's Word. Genesis chapter 18 is where we're going to study today. Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to begin with the 18th verse, actually with the 17th verse. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 is where we're going to begin reading and read to the end of the chapter. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'm glad that you have joined us in the study of the Word of God today. And if you would like to write to us, you can write to us because our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Glad that you've taken a few minutes now to spend with us, and I'm hoping that you are able to sit and to study and to read. If you're traveling, why, please just listen, carefully listen to God's Word. It is always a blessing when we can come together. Now we're going to begin reading with Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because the sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preadventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place of the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, so shall not the judge of all the earth do right. And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Preadventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. He spake unto him yet again, and said, Preadventure there shall be 40 found there. And he says, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Preadventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Preadventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, but yet but this once. Preadventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come enjoy this together. I'm glad, Father, that all these folks have come to listen and to enjoy it and to just be a sweet and wonderful time of fellowship. Now please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us in your way and will. Teach us by your Spirit today that we may know that it is of you and from you. We do not want to teach something contrary to your word. We want to teach your word that we may clearly and simply know and understand it and enjoy it. Now please, Lord, speak to our hearts now, that we may come to know you as our Savior, Lord Jesus, and that we will grow in you. Come to know and come to grow is the beginning of the program each time, and that's what we desire. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin with the 18th chapter as we look at Abraham at the plain of Mamre, the scripture says, and he was kind of outside his door there, and here came three folks, and I'm not going to say three strangers because they sure were not strangers. Immediately, Abraham knew who they were. And if you remember the beautiful story in the study that we had last time we were together, he immediately brought them forward, brought them to him, and sat them down and asked them, may I please care for you and meet your needs? In other words, can I serve you supper today? And they said yes. And so he hastened into the tent and said to Sarah, you know, Sarah, please, that you will make ready these three measures of meal and knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And then Abraham ran out and had fetched the finest kef that he had in the whole herd and brought it forth and gave it to a young man to prepare. And then when the meal was prepared, remember what Abraham did. Abraham stood before these three folks, these three men. He stood before them and just waited for any need that they had, anything that he could help them with. He was standing there prepared as a servant. Now you think about who Abraham, his position, all the wealth he had, and yet he did not put a servant there to help them in any way. He stood there. Now please, that you do the same, that we learn very carefully and prayerfully that we are always to be servants. No matter what the position that we hold, we are to be a servant. And too often today, why we if we get to a certain level or we get to a certain age, why we get this in our mind that somebody is supposed to wait on us. Never the case. We should always be a servant. Abraham is giving us a beautiful example of that. Now let's look to the guests. Who are these guests that turned Abraham, turned his head and brought him into action as he is preparing the meal and then standing there? And who would that be that Abraham would move so quickly? Well, we find it to be the pre-incarnate Christ and two angels. That's who is at Abraham's door. That's who he is standing before as he has prepared the food. And now Abraham and Sarah was old, the scripture tells us, and they were very old. They're 99 and 89. They're 190 and 190 years old, the two ages of them. And so and yet here we have a man that is serving in the capacity, in the place as a servant. And the eighth verse tells us, and he took the butter and the milk and the kef which he had dressed and set it before them and stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And so he just awaited. And then while they were there, something wonderful was told him, and Sarah heard as she was inside the tent door. And that was that I'm going to give you a son. Now, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son, the scripture says. Well, Sarah heard it and she laughed within herself, but the Lord heard her laughter. And she laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, in being old also? And so, Abraham, you're old. I'm old. How can this be? Well, nothing is impossible with the Lord. And it is so wonderful, those words, verse 14. And we need to keep this in mind. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied that she laughed, but the Lord says, yes, you did. And then we find here in the 16th verse, and that's where we begin the study today, this wonderful dinner that, and again, Abraham did not sit down and eat with them. He stood before them, and we should do the same thing. We should continually be in the role of a servant if we really love the Lord Jesus and want to further the gospel. Verse 16, the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on his way. And the Lord said, "And shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?" And that's where the first verse we read today. And as we're right there now, I want you to see that we have these three men and Abraham. So there's four men standing there, and he seems to walk with them as they're about to leave. He has had the role of a servant as he should have, and everything was, the meal was wonderful. It was the best that he had, and Sarah had prepared it. Abraham had prepared it, and now they have eaten, they have rested, and now they're ready to continue their travel. Well, they are, as they're walking, why, the Lord turns to the two angels and says, you know, should I hide this from Abraham, what we're about to do? And seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, verse 18, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, I know him, that he will command his children in his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, now this is, I just read verses 18 and 19 of the 18th chapter. Verse 20 now, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Now, when we get into the 19th chapter, we're going to find out what sin that is. Now, you know, today we live in a time where the homosexuals is something that's looked at two men to marry, and that's becoming common today. For two women to marry, that's becoming common today. Well, I tell you what, just because it's become common today does not make it right. And I tell you, what brought the judgment up on Sodom and Gomorrah was the pride, the ignorance of God, and the lack of following His commands. And when they begin, and we know, according to the 19th chapter, that the problem was that they desired to have another man more than desired to have a woman. Their natural affections was all messed up. And boy, isn't that today. And yet today, our country and our states are beginning to approve that. You want the judgment of God upon this land. There's a couple of things that will bring it very quickly. That's one of them. Is beginning to recognize and accept the homosexuals, and let's call them what they are, they're perverts. They have gotten their head and their mind they're so mixed up. They have gotten so far away from God that they have no acknowledgement of God's will or God's way or God's instruction. And the sad thing is that in many churches this is even accepted. Now, if it is, that's proof right there that there is no power of God. It is not God's will. And as long as this continues, we can be assured that God's judging hand will come down upon this land. It's going to come down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley here pretty shortly. We'll be assured it's going to come upon this land. And the land we know as the United States of America will come to an end if we do not recognize the sin of this land. And another, of course, is if we ever turn our back on the nation of Israel. Those are two things that will bring judgment very quickly. As the people of the land begin to worship the idols and many times themselves and money, God demands that we worship Him. And there is only one God. There's not three or four gods. There's not Buddha. There's not Allah. There's one God, and that's it. And our God, there are three persons within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we stand upon God's Word, the Bible, and do not leave it, and stand upon its truth, don't use some of the new versions, please. Stay with the King James. Stay with the truth, and preach the truth, and teach the truth, and you'll find victory and power and strength in your life. But if you begin to follow after the ways of the world, as is today, we are becoming very, very worldly within the church. And when that comes, we can expect judgment to come. And I don't know how long God's patience that God is going to show us His favor before judgment comes. Well, look at the story here. Look at what we have. And when I call it a story, I don't mean it's something that's not true. This is a true story. And seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, is talking to Abraham. And he says, because this man, Abraham, is going to be a mighty nation, because all that are going to be, because of his descendants, all will be blessed because of him. Well, the descendant he's talking about is himself when he's born. Jesus Christ come through the nation of Israel, and all the world was blessed because of him. Seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, and he will command his children, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Look at that. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is grievous, very grievous, the Scripture says. Now, before we get into that, we'll get into that next time. We're not going to have time today. But let's look at what's happening here. Because let's look at the level of corruption in this city. And they name one city. It's the City of the Valleys here. And many through history have said the reason that they have gotten to this place is because they spend more time playing than they do working. Doesn't that sound like this land today? People desire to spend more time playing than they do working. More time playing than in service to God. They would rather play. They spend all of their life to play. That's what they want. They live to play. Well, when that comes to that place, then everything gets out of kelder. Because, you see, we're designed, we're made to work. And we're made that we can worship and praise and honor God. And when you neglect those two things, and you just work just enough so that you can have your toys, not going to be long. That you have, your God is not the God that has made us. Your God is not the God that saved me. Because if he was your God, you would recognize that your God is money, your God is that toy that you have, your God is that golf course, your God is that fishing spot that you love to go to, your God is your boat, you name it, your God is your camper. Whatever you do, when you choose someone, something ahead of the Lord, that becomes your God. Think about how many gods you have. Well, the land of Sodom and Gomorrah here, they have set many gods before the Lord. And a matter of fact, they have gotten such a place that their sin is very grievous, and they have totally forgotten the Lord. And the more you forget the Lord, the more wicked your sin becomes. The more deep you become, get into your sin. And that's what's happening here. Well, what's going to go? I will go down now, and I'm going to see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. What I am hearing, the level of sin from this area, this very rich, wealthy area that has everything, they have turned their back completely on me, and they have set their lives to be very sinful, and I'm going to have to destroy them. And so I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry, verse 21. And which has come up to me. What I have heard, I'm going to go see. And if not, I will know. And so we're going to see. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. These two angels, they headed on down into Sodom. We're going to find shortly here down the 19th chapter what they're doing. But let's look first here, the conversation between Abraham and the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Are you going to destroy all of Sodom and Gomorrah?" Why was that a question that Abraham had? It's because, if you'll look back, remember when Lot, he set his face towards Sodom, and then before we know it, he is in Sodom, and then before we know it, he was taken captive, and you know, Lot still didn't learn his lesson. He moved right back in. He was still living in Sodom, very actively involved, even in the city council in this wicked, wicked city. Now, as we see this man Lot that's there, Abraham is thinking. Now, he said, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Now, even though Lot is become a wicked man, he is still a child of God. Now, isn't that sad? That's a very sad statement, to know that somebody can live in that mess and stay there and even be involved in it and yet not recognize he needs to get out of it. He's right in the middle of it, and he's involved with the politics of it and everything. And Abraham wants to know, are you going to destroy him? You know, he calls them the righteous, those that are born again. Abraham knew, drew near, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Pre-adventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. "Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein?" That's the question that Abraham lifts unto the Lord God. And we find that he continues his comment here, his statement, verse 25, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Lord, how can you destroy the righteous with the wicked? How can you do that at the same time? That's the question he has. How can you do that? "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Verse 26. The Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Very highly populated area. And yet he said, "If there be 50. Well, Abraham answered and said unto him, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. I am nothing, but I come before you. Pre-adventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." That's verse 28. Now, he started with 50. Now he's down to 45. And it continues. He spake unto him yet again and said, "Pre-adventure, there shall be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Pre-adventure, there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." That's the 30th verse of chapter 18. We've went from 50 to 45, and from 45 we find 40. Then we come to 30, and now in verse 31, and he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon thee to speak unto the Lord. Pre-adventure, there shall be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." Surely, in this highly populated town, there would be 20 souls that have come by faith to Jesus Christ and been saved. Surely there be 20. But Abraham continues, and he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Preadventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, Abraham returned unto his place. Now we're going to back up and we're going to look at this. We started with 50, we went to 45, down to 40, down to 30, down to 20, down to 10. Down to 10. If there be 10 righteous souls in Sodom. Now you think about that. Was the population 10,000? Was it 5,000? Was it 100,000? How many people was in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley? How many was there? And we started working right with this one town because, you see, Sodom is where Lot lived. And so, being right there, Abraham is thinking, you know, I've got to intervene. I've got to intervene for Lot. Lot's going to be destroyed. My nephew, the nephew that I shouldn't have brought, I should have left him back in Ur of the Chaldees, but I didn't, and now he's right smack dab in the middle of that mess down there, and I've got to go on his behalf, and Abraham did. He started with 50. Surely there's 50, then 45, then 40, then 30, then 20, then 10. And we get to 10 souls. He said, if there be 10, surely. Now, we know that as we count, and I think the reason that Abraham quit with 10 is because you have Lot and his wife. That's 2. Now we have sons and daughters. And so if we have the family, and if you'll kind of take time to count, you can come up with 10 souls. Between Lot and his wife and the children, and in some cases the spouses, that they're unmarried and married children, easily he could come up with 10. Surely there be 10 souls, even in the immediate family of Lot. So you see, Lot has been in Sodom and Gomorrah and in Sodom now for many years. And Abraham went to his defense to see if they could surely, if there be 10 souls. Surely there is 10. What did the Lord say? What did he say? Preadventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now, if you know anything about the Word of God, you'll know that they cannot even find where the cities of the valley were at, and Sodom and Gomorrah in particular. So we know it was destroyed. So what's that telling us? That's telling us that there was not 10 righteous souls in that city, in that wicked, wicked city. And we're becoming just like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, you hear over once in a while, says, you know, the Lord's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't bring judgment upon this land. Well, as you read the paper and as you watch the news, that's becoming true. Sodom and Gomorrah was a very wicked place. There was a lot of money, there was a lot of time, and there was a lot of wickedness. And that wickedness and the perverseness, they're so perverted in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to talk about that in the 19th chapter. And that should upset us. We should be appalled at what they're doing in Sodom and Gomorrah. But we find that the same thing is going on today in this very land. What can we expect God to do? What can we expect to happen if they are doing the same thing today that they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? Has God's word changed? Has God's law changed? No, it hasn't. So if we continue, we can expect the same judgment upon this land that happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. What a sad, sad statement. You know, the Lord said, I will not destroy this earth again by water. That was back in the days of Noah. But he brought an isolated area here and destroyed it. because of its so, it was so, so wicked. Be prepared. God is not mocked. We need to set our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you need to go to His Word and begin to grow. Once you've come by faith for salvation, then it's time to enjoy walking with Jesus. My dear friend, trust in Jesus today. What are you going to do about Jesus?